The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org.
And welcome to KTQA Daily Briefing. My name is Becky. It's still Becky. You might be missing someone's voice. That's because Sam, my usual partner here and our usual host, well, he's taking the day off. He's feeling a little bit under the weather. We will definitely keep listeners apprised of how that's going. But you got me for today. And, well, to start us out, I would like to wish everyone a happy Morse code day. For those of us that are fans of radio and radio history, this is an important kind of, piece of radio history to recognize. So to that, and you are listening to da di da 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 di da di da da di 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 da. Dit da dit 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 da dit. That's KTQA LP. And well, if I had my little Morse code tone here, then I would beep for you there. But instead, you got my voice. So that's a little wink towards those of us who are fans of that, and a little wink towards Sam, who again is taking it a little bit easy today. To start out, as usual, state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. State Health Department officials are staffing a coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit the United Way online at wa211.org. Some news from Washington State. The Employment Security Department notes that Mondays are their busiest days for customer support. Tips for new applicants for unemployment include watching the tutorial videos when setting up your account at esd.wa.gov/unemployment, making sure to enter your name as it appears on your Social Security card, double-checking that your Social Security number and date of birth are entered accurately, and using the checklists and guides available on the website. The department also notes that even if applicants have multiple open claims, keep submitting weekly claims for the duration of your unemployment. Governor Inslee announced just before airtime that a majority of state public parks and public outdoor recreation lands will be opening May 5th for daytime use, including for hunting, fishing, and golf, as long as safe distancing protocols are adhered to and viral cases remain relatively under control. Golf on state lands must be limited to pairs, and no dining or beverage service will be permitted. Camping, team sports, and public gatherings still will not be permitted in public parks, in state public parks. And more details are expected to be published at governor.wa.gov. A little bit closer to home, University Place Refuse and Recycling Center is now open 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Saturdays. The office remains closed, which means no garbage, yard waste, wood, concrete, or appliances are being accepted yet. University Place residents can call 253-564-3212 or visit uprefuse.com for more info. Pierce County is requesting that individuals who are not WIC recipients consider food shopping a few days before or a few days after the first of the month. Recipients of nutrition assistance through WIC receive benefits on the first of each month and may not have flexibility in purchasing essential groceries for young families. The county also asks shoppers to consider not buying items with WIC-approved tags unless absolutely necessary, since WIC recipients are unable to substitute items without those tags. Finally, closer to home in Tacoma, right here, Tegro will resume residential customer service at its Cleveland Way facility. Pickups are open to residential and commercial customers between 8 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, with a brief closure between 11:45 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. to accommodate staff shift changes. Customers must maintain social distancing requirements, and all payments should be made by credit card. More details are available at tegro.com or by calling 253-502-2150. I should have said at the top of the hour that it is indeed a little bit past 3 o'clock. It's now 3:06 on Monday, April 27th. Again, Sam's a little bit under the weather, so he's taking a day off. But you got me, Becky, in the studio. And we should expect to hear from Sam tomorrow. I know he previewed a little bit last week on Friday, saying that there's some interesting things coming from the KTQA crew, as long as we've been, I guess, separately together, but still with things in the works. So do stay tuned from that. And remember that dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will get you statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821, where you can call us or text us. I think without further ado, we'll go into today's interview. I'm excited today to be talking with Allie Bishens. She is a local business consultant and community leader. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Have to remind myself occasionally, yep, it's Monday. We've started a new work week. So what's the work week been looking like for you? Are you working from home? Are you still going on with different clients? Or has it kind of been March 82nd for you?
All of the above. I've been doing a lot of working from home and have switched most of my client meetings and my virtual workshops and things like that to online. About 90% of my events and workshops and client meetings and things like that in the past have been in person. So it's been a real shift for me to be on Zoom. I think I was on Zoom for like 12 hours last week, but it's been a real like opportunity for me to learn more about that platform and what its capacities are and how to try and connect authentically with people online in a way that I didn't really feel like was possible before now. But I also have two kids at home who we are sort of, I would say, semi-homeschooling. We're not really shooting for full school at this point. So I definitely have reduced hours right now than I normally would.
You're speaking to one of the challenges that probably a lot of folks with children and who are working are sort of juggling right now. So I commend you tremendously on that. Going to your website, Allie, right off the bat, you have this assertion, this really lofty thing that says today's challenges are best solved through community. And I'm wondering if you can elaborate on how that kind of relates to business, because business can really seem, at least to me, someone who really isn't in business, it can seem really kind of cutthroat and competitive.
Well, when I moved to Tacoma about 6 years ago, and I saw so many amazing artists and entrepreneurs and small business owners. And what I didn't see was collaboration and people working together and people helping each other out. And I thought that was so odd, because I knew so many of those business owners and knew that they had the heart to help each other and the heart to collaborate. But there really just didn't seem to be, in what I was seeing, a sense of community and a sense of like, who are the small business owners of Tacoma? And I come from a little bit of a wacky background. I have a background in urban design and urban planning and environmental policy. And really in those platforms, like, you can't get anything done if you don't have community buy-in. And so I come to basically everything that I'm working on with a sense of that you, this project or whatever you're working on, will be stronger if you have other people involved in it, right? Like, that just makes sense on a lot of levels. a lot of people really resist that. They feel like it does have to be cutthroat and it does have to be competitive. But I think one of the things that you're seeing right now as a response to social distancing is so many businesses helping each other out and giving referrals to other similar businesses to theirs, or taking the time to link up a customer with another business. And there's really been an amazing outpouring of collaboration and of help. And so I think that I maybe was a couple of years early of talking about how businesses that are more tapped into the community will last longer through a recession. I didn't expect it to happen in this way, but I think everyone else is seeing that now. Businesses that have great relationships with their customers and really good relationships with other business owners are the ones right now that are pivoting and that are finding ways to continue to connect with those customers and those other business owners. And those are the ones that are going to survive. And it's sad that there's going to be a lot of businesses that don't survive social distancing, but I think that it's a real opportunity for businesses that are trying to survive right now to think about how they can leverage the support that they have in the local community to thrive.
I've seen a lot of folks that will say, hey, I ordered out from this particular eatery, and tagging them on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or resharing different things. Do you feel like that's one of the main ways that those businesses are continuing to sort of limp along in this little time that's really uncertain right now?
Absolutely. There are a number of different ways that you can support local businesses. One is by actually purchasing products or services. But if you don't have the capacity to do that, or maybe you're too far away to do pickup, you can share about the business. You can tag them. You can remind your friends that it's open. You can post for them in a local Facebook group and just remind people that they're open. There was a local business who just got struck with a rumor that they had closed down, and people were sad that this business had closed, but they hadn't actually closed. They had just closed temporarily through the shutdown. So anytime that you're bringing visibility to a business by sharing about them on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, or just like when you're on the phone with someone, then it just reminds people that that business is there, especially like Mother's Day is coming up and there's several gift shops locally that are still open that are shipping or that will do curbside pickup or free wrapping paper, those kinds of things. And so I think a lot of people, it's so easy right now to kind of get bogged down in the details of like being at home. But if we have the capacity and we're in a financial position to be supporting local businesses, it's great to think about, well, what gifts do I need over the next couple of months and what business can I support through those gifts?
I want to ask you, because you come from this background of like these really diverse areas, including environmentalism and environmental issues. And from a lot of conservationists, we've seen folks that are saying, oh, this is actually kind of cool. Less waste, you know, fewer people getting into their automobiles and creating air pollution. Is there kind of like a balance between the consumption of things? Is there like a balance that you see between being environmental stewards, but then also supporting those businesses?
Yeah, I think that one of the great things to potentially come out of this is the conversations that people are having about how to go zero waste at home right now, how to grow your own food, or one of my favorite things. And the listeners have never heard about this, I recommend going to Google it. You can actually regrow vegetables from your supermarket scraps. And I started doing it about 5 years ago. I had a friend who was a prepper, like a doomsday prepper, and they regrew vegetables this way. And I wanted to try it out. And we have like onions in our yard and bok choy and lettuce and all sorts of different things that we've regrown from supermarket scraps. So this to me, even though it relates in no way to my business, is one of my favorite things where you can do something really amazing at basically no cost. And so I think it's great that people are, I've seen people on Facebook like making their own laundry powder or starting to cook more at home instead of getting takeout, and you know, taking care of their gardens and doing like neighborhood barters, right? Like I have eggs, you know, but I need yeast and you have yeast and need eggs, those kinds of things. So all of those things I think contribute to community community and contribute to strengthening those communities. And so I think that there is, potentially an upside to this, that it is allowing a lot of us to think maybe for the first time about like how our houses function. I love to get businesses talking about their waste stream and about their supply stream. So where are you getting your supplies from? Are you purchasing them from local businesses? If not, could you? And then also thinking about your waste stream, what are you throwing away? And could those materials actually be something that somebody else could use? So I give all of my bubble wrap and bubble packs to a friend who makes pastries and ships them. So I've actually become sort of a repository for her. So people in my neighborhood know that if they have extra bubble packs or bubble wrap, to bring it and drop it off on my porch. And then when I get enough of it, I call my friend and she comes and picks it up. So I think that these things, these like micro actions, they may not, save the planet like on their own, right? Like not using a disposable fork one time is not going to change the planet. But being an advocate and being vocal in your community and sharing about the successes that you're having and encouraging other people to have those conversations, those are the kinds of things that change the world.
One of our past interview subjects, Antonia Hernandez, she actually told me a little bit behind the scenes, this is, oh yeah, Allie is always working on Tacoma-centered projects. So what have you got up your sleeve right now?
I'm really excited to be offering a all virtual connection and learning series. So one of my favorite things is to actually sit down with business owners and dreamers and entrepreneurs and really walk them through their value proposition, their elevator pitch, their social media marketing, their connections with the community. And I have found that one of the best ways to do that is through series, because you get to keep seeing the same people over and over again and really build relationships. And I've made some really good friends through those series, and I've seen series participants make really good friends who then become like your biggest ever business cheerleader. And so I have been in the back of my mind for quite a while thinking about offering a virtual one, but frankly was a little nervous because virtual is, while I do a ton on social media, virtual meetings has never really been part of my platform. So this has been a really good like kind of kick in the bum to get that together. And we just launched it. We already have a couple of people signed up, and I'm just so excited to be bringing this educational and community and connection platform to this virtual space and offer it to people that maybe either don't come into Tacoma very frequently or prefer, virtual programming or, wouldn't otherwise be able to come to one of these series.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't prompt you to talk about, like, even at this time, you're also not forgetting about making sure to support folks that are struggling in the community. So you've been doing some fundraising for one of the food banks, correct?
That's right. I am using a portion, a big chunk of some of my products from my website to support one of the local food banks that I have also been doing a little bit of volunteering with. Earlier in social distancing, they had some a lack of volunteers. And so I stepped in and was able to do a little bit of volunteering with them. And I just saw how incredibly hard they're working. And they've projected that their actual donations of food will be down 90%. For as long as social distancing lasts. And I've seen the impact that they have made in the community and the groceries that they're giving out to families is through the school district as well as the food bank that they have on site. And I just wanted to do something. So I previously raised money for a mutual aid organization through some of my products and then this food bank. And honestly, probably when that fundraiser is over, I'll roll it over into something else just because I think that people are still purchasing my products, which is absolutely amazing. But I want to make sure that however much I can give of that back into the community to put it back there. And I also use a lot of the funds that come into me and put them back out through scholarships. So there are often scholarships available to my online workshops and my series and even my social media marketing courses. I often have scholarships, and especially right now, if somebody emails me and says, I'm really struggling, our business is struggling, I need help with this, I will provide all the help that I can. And, just people are telling you all these things right now to do and to learn and to be and to like achieve and just like do what you can, right? Like you don't have to try your best. You don't have to be a superhero. Just do what you can.
You talked a little bit about things that have fundamentally changed, but do you feel like that there's anything that's kind of become more important since the pandemic started? Anything that's really come more so to the forefront of business owners' minds?
I think one thing that's been really fascinating to me is seeing how many people are coming to understand the importance of local and importance of the neighborhood. And so when I used to work as a sort of a climate transportation lobbyist, and I used to, you know, meet with senators and I would say, what would your life look like if there was a fuel shortage? Could you get to your doctor's office? Could you get to your kid's school? Could you see your friends? Could you go walk to the grocery store? And it was always really eye-opening for them because most people actually don't live in a place where they can, you know, walk to all of these different places. And I'm seeing some of that right now where businesses are realizing that, like, they can collaborate with literally their neighbors, that it makes sense to, you know, come together as a corridor and work on projects together. It makes sense to ask your neighbors, you know, just as a private citizen, to reach out to your neighbors to see if they have, you know, toilet paper or eggs or yeast or whatever it is before going to the store, right? So we don't have a fuel shortage, but what we have is people really trying very hard not to go out to stores. And I'm seeing such a great effort in Tacoma for really staying home as much as possible. So I've been really happy to see how much people are realizing that, like, the success of this whole social distancing experiment really lays in, can we take care of the people in our community? Can we lean on our neighborhood? Can we take care of, you know, maybe the elderly in our specific neighborhood or at, you know, like an elderly care facility? And I really hope that that continues. I really hope that that is a fundamental change, that some people who are coming to see this for the first time, like, oh, I live two doors down from a printer, you know, a place that prints t-shirts, like, that's where I should get my t-shirts printed instead of getting them printed, you know, on Moo or something like that. I really hope that that continues, that sense of community, that sense of, I like to say local first, like, think about local in what you're doing first. If you are getting t-shirts printed or your business cards or you're getting mugs made, like, think first. If you're throwing something away or you're recycling something, think first whether you can, you know, pass it on to somebody who can utilize it. And I really hope that trend of thinking uber local and uber, like, micro neighborhood style sort of projects, I really hope that continues.
I think that I've experienced that even just a little bit, where I'll be going out on an afternoon walk and I know that my friends who also are within sort of a 1.5 mile radius are also home, right? Because they've been ordered to stay home. And so I'll be walking along and I'll be able to text my friends and say, hey, come to your porch in 30 seconds. And then we have a little just, hi, how's it going? You know, where I'm standing at the sidewalk there at their front door, where, you know, distant, but, you know, right there. Or folks that are just out gardening and saying, hey, I like all your vegetable starts. That's really cool. How long were they going inside? And they say, oh, we started them back in February. Here, do you want some? And you end up with some tomato starts. So I think that there's lots of different ways that I've personally experienced it. And I had never thought of it from the business perspective as well, that this is something that doesn't have to be cutthroat and independent. So that's really cool. You said, Allie, that you moved to Tacoma about 6 years ago. What do you value most about Tacoma, like, at a personal level?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll make a little list. I love the water. Being close to the water and the mountains just really feeds my soul in a way that, you know, living in a city, like I lived in DC, just didn't. And you didn't get that nature. We actually, one of the reasons we moved to the Pacific Northwest was we wanted to be close to nature and have a great farmer's market. Like, those were two of our really important requirements. I do love my local farmer's market is Proctor Farmer's Market, and I adore it. I do really love how many people in Tacoma are dreamers and are entrepreneurs and are small business owners or side hustlers or hobbyists. And there's a real, like, value for that here. You know, in DC, everything is go, go, go. You work 50 to 70 hours a week at your job, you probably don't have time for hobbies. You don't even really have time to walk your dog. And so it's very cool to be in a community where it's a little slower. Like, there's not that rush. There's not that like deep-seated ambition to just like be, you know, like the fastest person, you know, in your program or anything like that. And it's just nice to see people say, well, yeah, I mean, this is what I do for work. But when I'm not at work, I garden or I kayak or I hike, or, you know, I have a plan to hike every weekend for the entire year, or I'm going to climb the, you know, the 10 tallest peaks. It's really cool to see that depth of who people are. And it's just really visible here. And so I really appreciate that. And I think that had I not, I actually got started in business in Tacoma. I make minimalist, eco-friendly jewelry. And so I got started on like the craft sort of circuit. And I met so many amazing artists, and that really what got me started as a consultant was just seeing all of these amazing artists and makers and crafters, and then saying, oh, do you know so-and-so? That person, you would make such a good collaboration. And the answer was always no. And there was just this, it was so odd to me that all of these amazing people didn't have a place to connect and didn't have ways to connect. And so my very first workshop that I ran was just about bringing people together. And we had 42 people at my very first workshop. And we shortly thereafter started a Facebook group to support women and non-binary folks in Tacoma who are, we say, like working or want to, right? So it's meant to be sort of business oriented, but it's open to everyone, all women and non-binary folks, as long as you're working or want to. And we have almost 1,000 people in that group now, and all in the South Sound. And it's just been really great to see that community deepen and grow. I think I wouldn't have gotten started except that there were so many amazing businesses and artists in Tacoma when I first moved here.
So, Allie, how can folks learn more about you and your work and resources?
You can learn more about the fundraiser that I'm doing right now, as well as my virtual services and consulting on my website, which is www.alisonbishins.com, AllisonBishins.com, or you can Google Allison Bishins. I'll be the first thing that comes up. It's an uncommon name. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as Allison Bishins Consulting, one long word. And I do post resources and support and prompts and questions on those pages as well, and link to other businesses, especially if you're on Instagram. I love to share about other businesses on my Instagram. So if you're into watching Instagram stories, that's a great place to learn about, you know, new businesses or resources and people that I'm trying to support, or, you know, businesses that are doing great things right now.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Allie. Allie Bishins is a local business consultant and community leader.
Thank you.
Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dial 211 for statewide community resources. Our email is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. You can call us or text us there. See you guys tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.